This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Brexit. Brexit was the turning point for the United Kingdom away from the European Union to Boris Johnson premiership. However, Brexit is now again in the news, and this time it is a challenge. The headline from London, EU signals it could trigger trade war and legal challenge if UK rips up Northern Ireland Protocol. The positive here is no longer are the London papers being led with horror headlines from the Ukraine war. No longer is Europe being threatened with nuclear weapons by Vladimir Putin. No longer are we speculating, at least momentarily, about the president of Russia's health. Instead, we're back to trade war between the EU, the all-powerful EU, and the UK over something called the Northern Ireland Protocol. Fortunately, I can turn to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. To help me understand this matter of the Northern Ireland Protocol, I took notes from the presentation by Liz Truss to Parliament about the position of the government. She is foreign minister. What I heard and wrote down here are phrases that I don't understand. Said the foreign minister, no hard border. Said the foreign minister, customs union. Said the foreign minister, goods will be moved back and forth without undue burden. Said the foreign minister, the changes are political, are for political negotiation. I got lost, so I come back to this headline. Trade war. That sounds grave. Joe, a very good day to you. Again, Boris Johnson has escaped the, shall we say, the due of his misbehavior during the COVID crisis, because there's yet another crisis. It's not nuclear war, but it does look to be the EU making threats. What is the Northern Ireland Protocol? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, so Northern Ireland has been a problem, a real sticking point throughout the Brexit process for reasons that actually have to go all the way back to 1998 when we negotiated the Good Friday Agreement that ended decades of sectarian violence in Northern Ireland. And so back in 1998, the solution to that problem was that Northern Ireland would stay under the sovereignty of the United Kingdom as it had been. But to try to ease some of the sectarian tensions, what they would do was create an open border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, the independent country that takes up most of the island. And people who lived in Northern Ireland would be able to choose either British or Irish citizenship. And at the time, this was a very good solution to the problem of battling communities that they had in Northern Ireland, because it basically fudged a lot of the issues about control of that territory that people were unhappy about. And it meant that you could have free traffic between the north and the south. You could have free trade between the both parts of the island. People could move easily between the two. The problem is that that's no longer really possible under Brexit, because now that Brexit has happened, see, when they negotiated the Northern Ireland peace agreement in the 90s, both sides were members of the European Union. So you didn't actually need to enforce a border there, because since both the UK and the Republic of Ireland were with the EU, they were already trading freely with each other anyway. And citizens of one country would have equal rights to live and work in the other country or anywhere else in the EU at the same time. The problem has been that since Brexit, none of that is true. And all of a sudden, this border, which historically has been very contentious, has become the only land border between the newly independent United Kingdom and the rest of the European Union. And what to do about that has been an enormous challenge. So the solution that they worked out a couple of years ago when they first negotiated the divorce was that since Britain and the Republic of Ireland had committed to keeping an open border on the island, the UK would impose a customs border before you got to Northern Ireland. So that is functionally as if the U.S. were to start doing border inspections between Minnesota and North Dakota so that people in North Dakota could trade between there and Canada without any restrictions. And the problem that we've got is that this is just proving impractical to have a customs border within your own country, so that they have erected trade barriers between two parts of the United Kingdom so as to avoid having a barrier between one part of the United Kingdom and this whole entity outside of it. And so what they're arguing about now is Boris Johnson's desire to come up with some solution that he think might be more sustainable over the long term.
This is the threat by Maros Sefcovic, the European Commission Vice President, in charge of these negotiations. Should the UK decide to move ahead with a bill disapplying constitutive elements of the protocol as announced today by the UK government, the EU will need to respond with all measures at its disposal. What is that all measures part? What can they do to the United Kingdom, given the state of the European economy, to the UK economy, to the question of gas? What are they talking about?
Well, you're really asking two questions there. I mean, the first is what can they do legally? And then the second is what should they do given all of these political and economic difficulties that they're facing in other parts of the region right now. So, I mean, in theory, what the EU could do would be to impose various forms of retaliatory tariff on the UK that would affect Britain's trading relationship with the EU much more broadly. And, you know, or they could threaten to tear up, you know, much bigger sections of this divorce agreement that is supposed to facilitate much freer trade between the UK and the EU after Brexit. And I think that the EU's concern here is that they view themselves as being a single market that now encompasses the 27 economies that are still left within it after Brexit. And the hallmark of that is having a common rule book. So it's not just tariffs, but it's also things like economic regulations and food safety standards. Their big fear is creating a workaround of some sort. If suddenly you have this border on the island of Ireland, where goods can flow across that border into the EU without being subject to the same kind of restrictions or regulations that other goods coming into the EU through other routes might face. So I think that's why Brussels is so concerned about this. And so you really are at loggerheads, because the UK is saying, well, we can't tolerate the situation where we have a customs border and inspections and hours worth of expensive paperwork to move goods within our own country. And the EU is saying, well, we can't tolerate a situation where we have a part of our border where our normal rules just don't apply. And so I think that that is kind of the swamp that they are both going to have to find some way to swim out of.
Boris Johnson said he could solve this. Is this an example of solving it? Is Liz Truss an agent for Boris Johnson? Is Boris Johnson part of this debate?
Well, yes. I mean, Boris Johnson ultimately is responsible for this, not least because he was one of the great leaders of the campaign in favor of Brexit when they did the referendum back in 2016. And he was elected prime minister in late 2019, explicitly on a platform of getting Brexit done.
Right.
Here we are, Brexit has happened, and that's still not done. I mean, we're still negotiating the Northern Ireland issue. So he is definitely politically responsible for this. And he's not wrong when he argues that a possible solution to this would be for the EU to exercise a bit more creativity. If they were to say that we will accept UK economic rules as if they were equivalent to the EU, and so that will make this less of a fraught issue. The problem is he's not in a position to force the EU to do that. I mean, they have to decide that it is in their best interest to exercise that kind of creativity, because remember, the two sides are now across the table from each other. They're not sitting around the table together in the way that they were when the UK was part of it. So, I mean, Boris is sort of right that there are creative solutions to this. The problem is that those solutions require the other party to be creative, which isn't necessarily always a viable negotiation. negotiating position.
When I checked before, there were considerably strong voices called Remainers. Are they part of this argument saying we told you so as they struggle to get the Ireland question solved?
Well, I mean, you definitely have the strand of I told you so, particularly on British Twitter and in some quarters of the media. But what I'm finding interesting about this episode is that fewer and fewer people seem to be paying any attention to that. Because I think that there is now a recognition in a growing segment of the public and even the commentary class that Brexit has happened now. So, you know, it's no use crying over spilled milk, whether that milk is regulated by UK or EU agriculture rules. And so, I mean, your only path is to go forward because you can't go back. And so what's interesting is my sense is that this is really the first big Brexit policy debate that this country is having that is kind of taking the fact of Brexit as one of the first premises of the debate. And, you know, kind of the I told you so argument is out there, but I think that it is assuming much less prominence than it has in the past.
Speaking with Joseph Sternberg of a little bit more understanding of the threatened trade war between the EU and UK. I said, again, the positive here is we didn't have to lead with Ukraine, but we're headed there now because the European Union has made a decision about energy and Russia. I'm John Batchelor.